You notice how Genesis is connected to Matthew, these imperatives to go. They both have it. And think of how this is fitting for today as we remember veterans or people serving now. Think of the Genesis scripture. Think about this in military terms. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. How many in military went to different lands? It could be in this country too, right? You're told to go to this base or that base or here. Not foreigners, but people from different states coming here because of they were asked to go. Well, asking is a little weak term. It's a directive, isn't it? And that's the whole issue with my sermon here today is, you know, is it a directive or is it not? Is it optional that we go, right? Go like Abraham, go that through your family, finally the world will be blessed through the coming of Jesus Christ. Or go and make disciples of the nations. How strong is this? Well, I hate to tell you today, but you've been drafted. How many military people here were drafted? Okay. Not a lot, actually. A lot of volunteers. But we're drafted. And I hate to say it, because it's not what we want to hear. We kind of want to hear, well, the Bible, these are some suggestions. Here's some healthy suggestions. If you want, you can share Christ with those who need Christ. If you want, you can go where I want you to go to use your gifts and talents for me. If you want. No pressure. It's not that way, is it? You can feel it, can't you, in both scriptures. Go is a directive, like when the military says that to somebody, a soldier. It's not optional. It's a directive. The Bible talks about us caring for the poor and the weak and the needy, for us sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ so men and women can come to faith in Jesus Christ. I think we treat it as optional, don't we? I mean, and I don't think we have to, you know, get into blame and guilt and all that. I think that's what happens for the church when it's in a prosperous time, in a prosperous country. I think that's just what happens. In China, there's over 50 million Christians who are mostly very alive in their faith because it's life and death or imprisonment or job. Try Ethiopia. There are 7 to 8 million Lutherans in Ethiopia, and there's warfare been going on. We're drafted. I just want to say that because that changes everything, doesn't it? If you're drafted, do you have an option? No. You go to some land, and land here, metaphorically, is just any place God wants you to go. You know, he wants us all to go some in the same places. He wants us to go to help those in need, to preach the gospel. We can do that together and collectively. But he also has a call upon your life. All believers are called to service. It's a demand that you come and serve. If you are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you're called to do what Jesus did, give up all in order to fight the good fight. God has a plan for your life to impact the world. Do you know that? God has a plan and purpose for your life. The problem is it's derailed so often. God called Abraham and Sarah to go to a new land, to a new place. It might be literally, it might be metaphorical. He called them to a new land. He calls us to a new land. And again, we're drafted here. And what happens when we don't go? What do we call that? AWOL, right? I think the church has gone AWOL in many quarters of America. The church has gone AWOL. And we're part of that. But again, we just got to get past the guilt and the shame. We need to repent of it, for sure. But just saying that changes everything, doesn't it? You've been drafted. Different than if you volunteer. Now, many soldiers who were drafted ended up staying or coming back after injury because they didn't want to leave their unit. They were intimate with the men and women that they served with. Okay, so God calls Abraham and Sarah to go from. Do you see that? Doesn't first say he calls them to go here. He calls them to go from, right? Not where you're heading, not your destination, but why would he say go from? Well, it could simply be that there are obstacles, there are things that we love over here, so dear so dear that it keeps us from hearing or obeying the command to go somewhere else. I mean, this could even go into morality, you know. I mean, sex is saved for marriage. That's the land God wants you in. Well, there's a lot of obstacles over here that keep us from. We don't want, you know, that's something maybe we don't want to do. Service. God wants you over here using your gifts and talents, but you're retired. No retirement in the Bible. No retirement in the Bible. But go from their country. You got to go from the things that you love too much. Because sometimes in a culture like ours that is lots of pleasure, lots of, you know, wealth relative to the rest of the world, this is what happens. We grow dull and numb. And we go AWOL. We go AWOL. Doesn't it make a difference when you know that you're drafted? You don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender your life to him, and then do whatever you want. But we do in this country. I mean, the church is weaker in this country because of it. And again, we understand where it comes from. But let's do something about it. He asks us to rid our lives of those things that keep us in this land of self-service. Like soldiers, we go to the lands our military calls us to go to, what Christ calls us to go to. If we neglect our calling and service, we're AWOL. We're AWOL today. The church is AWOL today. And something's got to be done. And it starts here. I mean, we serve. We really do serve. But many times it isn't, we hold on too much over here that there isn't enough time. There's limited amount of time, limited amount of energy. There's just limitation of everything here. So if you spend all of it over here, then God's pointing over here, asking you to come, and sometimes we don't go. But God has a plan for our life as a church. God has a plan for the American church. God has a plan for your life. And sometimes we are tuned out because we're so involved with the world. We love the world too much. And I'm not saying 24/7 is all you do is serve God. No, God wants us to enjoy life, enjoy pleasures, enjoy the things he's given us, but not love them. And what's happened is it's moved into love for many of us. I bet you all of us in some capacity, I do, I love the wrong things. I mean, again, you watch sports, but if you watch 30 hours a week, you know, God's probably pointing and going, that's great, but, you know, this, you do that, and then you're not going to do this. You got a choice to make. And we've been AWOL for too long. What keeps us in the land of comfort and self-service? Well, I didn't put this one on, but add this one. We just don't hear God. We don't hear God. We don't hear his call to go there. Because we're over here. And you know, sometimes when you live in this land, you don't even see poverty. You don't even see the lost because they're just out there. We haven't engaged them. So we don't hear from God. Also, we're too busy. That is, again, you can enjoy things, but don't love them. And we need to do moderation on things so they don't take too much of our life, because we do that when we could be loving someone who needs love, feeding somebody who needs feeding. We love pleasure and comfort too much. That's a tough one. We're mesmerized by culture. What's the snake that is, yeah, cobra. You got that from this? See that? Very good. This is like charades, and you're next, by the way, because you got it. The cobra enchants you, doesn't it? It's like the sirens of Greek mythology in the sea, these women-like creatures who sing and they captivate the men, sailors, and they jump overboard. Our culture mesmerizes us, and that's okay. Let's just move on. We're not going to hang on the guilt and so forth. Yeah, we fail on a regular basis, but the whole church does. Every Christian does at certain times. But we got to tackle this. You got to free up something here so you can do it here. And sometimes that just takes time and slow kind of progression. If you're tithing, you know, sometimes you have 2%. I was lucky to be told as a 13-year-old to tithe, so then I tithe from making zero up. But challenging ourselves. Pleasure and comfort's great. But this culture, I have to admit, it's not all our fault. It just presses upon us. Pleasure, fun, enjoyment. It really does, doesn't it? I get in it. I'm not talking to you as if, When I preach, I'm preaching to me usually. And if you can follow and you're part of that, then God bless you. But I'm preaching to me. I spend too much time in too many things that become obsessive, even little things obsessive. Gossip. Sports. You know, the tongue. All kinds of things. So I'm with you here. But we got to do something about it. Because God sent Abraham and Sarah and he saved the world. So then we are to follow. God works with partners, always with partners. You hear me say that a lot. Always with partners. He creates Adam, then he creates Eve. Because he wouldn't know his way around the kitchen anyway. I mean, just think if a guy was by himself. There'd be no pictures on the walls. If it was just Adam, there'd be no pictures on the walls. You know? There'd be no place to put your shoes because they don't care. Just tracking mud everywhere. Eve was made as a helper. Same word in the Psalms when God is our helper. So watch out. Don't go too far the other way. You know, but your helpers, meaning you're both helpers. God created people in a pair. He needs us to go to church, and the church is imperfect. And you're gonna have to deal with an imperfect church that's going to do imperfect things. You're going to have to deal with it because that's the reality. But we're going to have to press on because we are intended to be together. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying this is a beautiful one. Helps me a lot. We're supported by each other, and we're driven by each other, and we're reminded of Christ by each other. We're cross-pollinators, aren't we? We need to be in a close proximity so that the Holy Spirit can somehow use and move among all of us. And then we bring something special to the table. He always partners. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you. Now, Abraham and Sarah's trajectory towards the land of service was halted for a while when they stopped in Haran for a spell until Abraham's father, Terah, died. We are often sidetracked ourselves. So you need to make an assessment of your life. If you're going to follow Christ, it really means you're drafted. And that's okay, we've got some time, but begin to move in that direction of giving some things up here that's too much and looking at what God would want you to be, what land he'd want you to be in. Go to the land I will show you. God does not always share the details. Go to the land I'll show you. In the military, you maybe weren't always aware of where you're going to go next. But it's kind of an on a need-to-know basis. Francine had her ministry dedicated yesterday. Via de Dios, and I'm sorry, I'm never going to say that. I did it right the first time. Okay. And she's had a ministry on educating and bringing spiritual life through meeting together. She has a building. She's been doing years. And she had a Haran experience where you kind of stopped for a while because you couldn't get something. Things didn't work out for this building and that building. That's kind of the Haran experience. Expect delays and expect obstacles if you're going to start serving God. And the devil loves to mess with people that are serving God or churches serving God. I don't think he cares or pays any attention to individuals and churches that are doing nothing. If you're not doing anything in the kingdom of God, well, you're safe. You're probably pretty safe. But there's Haran experiences that set us back. We got to go through them. Military, it almost never goes to plan. It looks so nice on paper. Almost never goes the way you think it should or plan it to be, that's why you have alternate plans. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. If you are in the place God wants you, there should be fruit. Do you really want to die with say you're retired, you got 30 years left, do you really want to die having done nothing? Or little for the kingdom of God. You're AWOL. You don't want to be AWOL. Some of us have been AWOL our whole lives. You know, that's forgiven. But let's move on. This sermon, I want the message to be such that we are motivated to think about what land we're in and what land God wants us to go to. And part of that, by the way, is your gifts and your passions. God's already put inside each of us gifts and passions. What's your passion? Did you give up on your passion? Is it to help this age group of people, nursing home residents, people that are ill and sick, people that are alone? What is it? What's your passion and what's your gifts? Well, that's God telling you what you're supposed to do. That's God's call on the land. Go to this land. And then finally, God has already spoken in your life by instilling certain passions, certain gifts. Heidi Baker, talk about fruit too. Jesus Christ came from Abraham and Sarah. Heidi Baker was a missionary in Africa, and I was listening to a Lutheran speaker once at a conference, and he said that Heidi Baker is well known throughout Africa and elsewhere as a missionary. He went to a prayer meeting that she was involved with, and she was on her knees praying fervently, and all of a sudden, what came to her mind was a word. She kept saying it out loud, went home, looked it up, and it was a tribe of people in a certain southeastern part of Africa that had killed people, Mormons, others, not just Christians, who came from the outside with some kind of religion. And God pressed on her heart, just like Adam, Abraham, and Sarah. He pressed on her heart to do this. And she knew that it was risky and that that there was a threat of death. She brought an interpreter into a village, and she got in the middle of the square with her interpreter, and she said, "Bring out your sick, and I will pray to my God for you. And if they don't get better, you can kill me." Wow. That changes everything. Here we are. Okay, what should I do today? Should I do, you know, I could do a good thing, 5 minutes here. Oh my gosh, you got Heidi Baker willing to risk her life. Heidi Baker. The head of the chief was very skeptical, of course, and he just kind of brought his daughter out who couldn't see. She was blind, plopped her before Heidi. Heidi prayed for her, laid hands on her, and prayed for her, and she was healed. The chief and then the village turned to Christ. And we're AWOL. We're AWOL. The world needs us. God needs us. He's calling us. You've been drafted. Amen.